At least 25 people were reportedly killed in recent fighting between armed opposition factions of the SPLA in opposition, who are said to have mobilized civilians to fight for their sites. After Monday's extraordinary cabinet meeting, Information Minister Michael Mokwey described the conflict in Upper Nile State as complex and that it should be handled by the presidency. Jock Madud Jock, professor of anthropology at Syracuse University in the U.S. state of New York, says the decision by the national government to get involved more directly at the level of the presidency in Upper Nile was a great move and is unprecedented.
As South Sudan's national government works on the issues of insecurity at the local level throughout the country, citizens become happy to hear that their government is interested in their welfare. The announcement on Monday following the cabinet extraordinary meeting that the cabinet has decided to be involved more directly at the level of the presidency in the ever-growing and deadly conflicts in Upper Nile region was well received.
While Jock praised the government's decision to transfer the Upper Nile conflict to the presidency, he remains skeptical because some of the fighting between SPLM, AIO, breakaway factions of Kidgwang and Agwelek in the area which the government now wants to resolve was initially created by the government. Jock says that there are elements within the security services, cabinet and the presidency who find it more beneficial to them personally to see the conflict continue rather than resolve it.
Take, for example, the fight last week between the group called Kidgwang under Gadwech Dual and a group called Agwelek, a predominantly Shuluk militia under Oloing Thabo. This fight was essentially stoked by security elements within Juba as a way to wedge a rift between the two in order to weaken them. The two factions, Kidgwang and Agwelek, were once part of SPLM-IO and were united. They then broke away from IO as a united force and signed a separate agreement with SPLM in government in order to join the peace deal. They were given promises of all kinds. But suddenly, they disagreed, and Gadwech and Oloing started fighting each other, for the most part because Juba tried to weaken both of them by embarking on a project of attempting to lure Gadwech to Juba with promises of jobs, integration of his forces, and money, which didn't materialize in the end.
Jock says South Sudanese are tired of their leaders not being transparent about what they have decided to do on their own, noting the presidency has remained silent during several recent deadly incidents.
The problem that we have, not just as analysts but as ordinary citizens of South Sudan, is that many of these high-profile announcements made by the cabinet have always ended up being just that. High-profile statements, hollow and empty of policy commitments. I hope that this is not the case this time around.
Baboya James Adimon, a policy analyst with the Institute of Social Policy and Research in Juba, says top leaders are to blame for lives lost in Upper Nile because they initially refused to intervene and end the fighting.
The presidency has nothing to do with this process for now, because there's already structures under the peace agreement that are supposed to be dealing with issues to do with security and insecurity. At least there's, the Minister of Defense, they're supposed to deploy, troops to that area and secure the area because there's a unified forces that are mandated by the peace agreement to do that.
Edimon says the presidency should revive the Khartoum agreements with the Kidgwang and Agwelek factions and this time involve other peace partners in order to realize the lasting peace in the country. Last week, Apanale State Governor Budok Ayang said at least 25 people were killed in fighting after an armed militia, a group of young men suspected of coming from neighboring Jonglei State's Fangak County, invaded Apanale. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.